Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
Training Camp 2020 Locked and Loaded is presented by Mountain High Appliance. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
Well, after yesterday was a victory tour Tuesday for Mark, who used the Juwan James opt-out as a reason to say, see, I told you so, the Broncos should have drafted an offensive lineman. Today we're giving you a chance to strike back with a tell-me-why-I'm-wrong Wednesday. Rules are simple. Come up with a hot take. Send it to us on the Ramelsaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. Make your claim, make your observation, your critique, whatever. It's got to be, can't be like, you know, super obvious.
Yeah, I mean, we've had the Daniel Murphy one just failed on. He's so much better that that's way too obvious. The other thing is, we're 10 games into the season. I mean, let's have a little larger sample size before we start crowning people. Although you and I are probably going to have to start crafting a very well-written letter to the doctor.
Jeff Breidich, yes. May have to admit that the BBBT, the Breidich bounce back theory, actually worked. We shall see. We shall see. In the meantime.
Well, actually, you know what? I do have a point of order on that.
A point of order, okay.
Point of order on that.
The court recognizes Mark Schlereth.
Okay. He fired guys that you were counting on bouncing back.
Jake McGee, Brian Shaw.
Yeah. So
Ian Desmond opted out.
Yeah. So, some of your bullpen guys just stepped up. Guys that you were grooming and have been grooming for years stepped up and have played well. So, those are guys you weren't looking to bounce back. You were looking to build on. So I don't know that we can give him full credit on that. We might have to pump the brakes on writing that apology letter.
Well,
think about it.
8-2. Just think about it. We'll have to do it, but start thinking about it.
Right.
It could be on the horizon.
And
that'd be a nice problem to have, by the way.
Right.
I wouldn't mind writing it. That'd be great. I'd love to write it.
I wonder how many knee replacements Dr. Breidich has done.
Okay. So we knew that when the Last Dance aired, the Michael Jordan documentary.
I love it when you ignore me.
When we know that when it aired, it was a big deal. It got monster TV ratings. People were reacting to it all over the place. Well, it turns out it had a huge impact on Von Miller.
I think all the stuff that, you know, we went through last year as a team, you know, I kind of was wanting to, like, invest in myself, and I was kind of wanting to work in. And I just kind of got lost in that. And then The Last Dance came out, and I watched what, Michael Jordan was doing back in his prime. And, you know, I asked myself, like, hey, this was like Michael Jordan was the best that ever played. Was I really making that commitment to the game? Was I really doing the same stuff that he did? Like, Kobe was one of the best that ever played. Was I doing the things that Kobe was doing? Was I demanding more out of my teammates? And was I demanding more out of myself? And I looked in the mirror, and I said, no, I wasn't. And I just tried to change that and tried to work as hard as I possibly could and take any days off and then go on any vacations. I didn't do anything but, you know, work out and grind and reinvest all the time that I would usually spend on, like, endorsements and all this other stuff. I just reinvested that time back in myself.
I love the honesty. Brutal honesty.
Yeah.
Very candid commentary there from Vaughn. And for all the heat that Vic Fangio's been receiving over his Juwan James comments, let's give Vic Fangio credit for this. He was right on when he said Vaughn could be better. Vaughn's been okay, but Vaughn could do more. Vaughn just admitted it right there. He has not had the same level of passion, intensity, and commitment that he's had in the past.
Okay,
hold on one quick second.
Okay.
So while I am very, very complimentary of Vaughn coming out and admitting all that.
Mm-hmm.
The flip side of that is, really, you're a pro. You know, you signed one of the richest contracts in the history of the NFL. You're a Super Bowl MVP. Why did you lose your fire? Oh. Why did you get diverted by endorsement opportunities and commercials and that kind of stuff. I mean, you just admitted that over the last couple of years, you didn't earn your paycheck. You didn't earn what you were paid to do.
Now you see I'm getting a pen.
You're going to write this down? What, are you getting your handy-dandy notebook out?
Yeah.
Got some notes you want to make?
Yeah, I'm going to put some notes.
Okay. Mark's handy-dandy notebook is out.
Because there's a couple things, like, I want to address there.
All right, go ahead.
So I wrote them down.
All right.
First off, why did you let that happen? Because you're human. You are a human. And even at 80%, you're still 99.9% better than everybody you play against and everybody else who plays. And human nature tends to take over. That's why I always say the brilliance of 20 years of the New England Patriots was that Bill Belichick and Tom Brady never seemed to find complacency. They always seemed to be driven. That is incredibly hard to do. That's why there's only a couple of people that are considered kind of quote-unquote goats. That's why there's only a Michael Jordan or a Kobe.
Or Brady or a Manning.
Right.
I mean, those guys never let up.
Right. So there's only a handful of those guys. It's only a handful of those humans on the planet. So that's one. That's why he's still going to Pro Bowls and producing at an all-pro level and winning Super Bowl MVPs even when, you know, you Cadillac a little bit, so to speak. Okay. So being able to recognize that, I think, is awesome. To have this time where nothing really was going on. There were no distractions. People weren't calling you to go shoot commercials because of COVID-19 gave you a chance to refocus. And then let's just be very frank about one thing. Vic Fangio not giving him kudos is not what drove him to recognize that he needs to be better. It was watching Michael Jordan doing his thing.
Oh, wait a minute. I don't agree with that. Your coach refuses to talk about you the way that other coaches and Bronco media and Bronco fans and Bronco teammates have talked about you, and shows like this and others make a big deal about what's up with Vic and Vaughn. And you don't think that has anything to do with it? I can't believe
Ben,
that.
Ben, can you play that soundbite again?
Of Vaughn.
Vaughn, yeah.
I think all the stuff that, you know, we went through last year as a team, you know, I kind of was wanting to, like, invest in myself, and I was kind of wanting to work.
All right, stop it right there.
And I just kind of got lost in that.
Stop it right there. Right off the bat, he acknowledges what went on last year with the team. With the team. That was already a source of motivation for him.
What went on with the team is your team's not very good.
And also what went on during that season last year was your head coach calling you out.
Okay, you're reaching, but keep going.
Oh, I'm reaching. Keep going. All right, I'll tell you what. We'll play the rest of this coming up.
All right, I'm just telling you.
Deconstructed a little bit.
I'm just telling you that regardless of what Vic said or what Vic didn't say, that motivation came internally, and a lot of it was inspired by Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant.
All right, we'll debate that. Plus, your opportunity to have Mark tell you you're not wrong. That's coming up. Next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. People care about three things when buying a vehicle. Number one, price. Siltahar Motors has the best prices and financing options that fit everyone's current credit and financial situation. Get zero down and 0% financing for 72 months. Number two, selection. Siltahar's five dealers in one offering Ford, Lincoln, Mazda, Volvo, and Maserati with hundreds of new and used cars, trucks, and SUVs on the lot. And number three, location. Siltahar's right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth, or view their entire selection online at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors. Get everything you want out of a dealership.
All right. We'll get back to Tell Me Why I'm Wrong in a second. These Vaughn comments, they kind of bug me. Now, while I give him a lot of credit for being honest, okay? High grades for being honest. But there's still a part of me that's turned off by him. Here again is the quote in him talking about why he seems extra on this offseason, extra motivated. Here's what he had to say.
I think all the stuff that, you know, we went through last year as a team, you know, I kind of was wanting to, like, invest in myself, and I was kind of wanting to work, and I just kind of got lost in that. And then The Last Dance came out, and I watched what, you know, Michael Jordan was doing back in his prime, and, you know, I asked myself, like, hey, this was like Michael Jordan was the best that ever played. Was I really making that commitment to the game? Was I really doing the same stuff that he did? Like, Kobe was one of the best that ever played. Was I doing the things that Kobe was doing? Was I demanding more out of my teammates? And was I demanding more out of myself? And I looked in the mirror and I said, you know, I wasn't. And I just tried to change that and tried to work as hard as I possibly could and take any days off and then go on any vacations. I didn't do anything but, you know, work out and grind and reinvest all the time that I would usually spend on, like, endorsements and all this other stuff. I just reinvested that time back in myself.
Great. That honesty is awesome.
Yes.
It really is. It's refreshing. But it also leads me to sit back and my first visceral reaction to it is, well, why did it take a TV show to motivate you? Would you have been this motivated if the pandemic wasn't going on? Did it take a pandemic to force you because you didn't have the time to do endorsements or you didn't have the opportunity to do endorsements? Yeah. You didn't have the opportunity to travel. Had it not been for this virus, would you still have been doing endorsements? Would you still have been traveling? Would the fire have been there? Would the extra work had still been there? What I'm getting at, Mark, is that would it have come from within? You know what I mean? Would he have been able to say, hey, I know that all these endorsement opportunities are out there, but I'm not going to do them because I need to be better. Hey, I know the opportunity to travel is out there, but I'm not going to do it because I need to be better. If The Last Dance wasn't on, would it have been able to come internally, or would a lot of exterior things going on, is that what we give it credit for?
I think that, you know, there is a mixture of internal motivation. That's why chips on people's shoulders are so strong. Even, you know, chips that you create yourself from a motivational standpoint. There's a certain amount of intrinsic motivation that we all have, some stronger than others, right? And there's a certain amount of extrinsic motivation. And obviously you want to employ the guys that are intrinsically motivated, that are going to grind regardless. At the same time, you know, I understand your frustration, but we have to give in. I don't care where the motivation comes from at this point in his career. He's proven that he's a Hall of Famer. I'm just glad that the light went on. I'm glad that he is upset with himself. I'm glad that, you know, he's invested the time. We'll see how that pans out. We'll see if that means he's another 12, 13 sack guy again this year. That'd be great, because we all benefit from watching that happen. So I'm happy about that.
But why wasn't it there?
Well,
because
human.
But one of my biggest.
Because he's human.
That's an excuse, but only to a point. And here's why. Because you were lucky enough to be around some amazing leaders and just huge dynamic personalities when it comes to leadership as being part of that 2015 team. And one of my biggest disappointments after that team was broken up was that some of the guys that were left over for some reason just didn't pick up the torch of leadership. And despite being exposed to all of that and being around it, they didn't seem to take it.
Right.
I remember the comment, the now famous comment, you know, we don't have enough dogs around here.
Yeah.
Well, the guys that were around that probably should have become the new dogs and taught some other guys to become new dogs, I just don't think it was really, I don't think the Chris Harrises, the Derek Wolfs, the Von Millers, for what they were lucky enough really, really lucky enough to be a part of it and be exposed to, I don't think they ran with it enough. And Vaughn acknowledging that he didn't have the same motivation the last couple of years, that's disappointing because, man, he was gifted an amazing opportunity to be around some tremendous personalities and characters.
I understand that. I think one of the things that's really hard, and this is just part of that 2015 team, it's really hard to follow a guy like Peyton, to follow a guy like DeMarcus Ware, without feeling fake or losing yourself. And I think there's a couple of different factors here. When you have such strong personalities, like there were people that said they were relieved when Peyton retired, right? Because he's such a grinder. When you have such strong personalities, there's almost this exhale within an organization, like, whew, right? And I think during that time, so many people allow those guys to lead. They're like, well, I don't need to, from the wide receiver room, I don't need to get on the other guys and chew somebody out for a lack of effort toward a ball or, you know, letting somebody cut in front of you on a slant, right? You can't let the defender beat you to the point where the football's going. That's the first rule of running a slant, right? You can't let that happen. You can't let a guy press you off the line of scrimmage and not let you get off. I mean, that's the first thing about any route is your get off, your release. And so instead of a receiver going, hey, dude, that's not good enough, we got to be better there, you know that Peyton Manning's going to say it. And so nobody takes that role. They just understand it. It's almost, it's just lazy. It's lethargy. It's somebody else will do it. Like, I know Peyton's going to take over that. And so leaders don't develop. The other thing about Vaughn is Vaughn has always been that, you know, happy action fun guy. So when Vaughn does perk up and say, hey, man, this isn't good enough, right, or whatever, everybody goes, laughs, okay, Vaughn, good one, you know, just because that's never been his role before. And it's hard to morph into becoming somebody you're not. I think this is one of the reasons that there's a lot of quarterbacks, you know, people are always like, well, the quarterback's got to be the team captain. There's a lot of quarterbacks that just aren't very good at that. That's not their natural personality. But we make them, you know, the CEO of the offense. When I was here my last year, Al Wilson came in. Al Wilson was like, no. Safety's not calling the defense. The middle linebacker calls the defense. I'm in charge. Like this is Al Wilson. And you know, he's got that wrinkled up face, you know, he's got all of them roll. He looks like a bulldog, you know, and he's just smacking people. And you're like, all right, there's a new sheriff in town. His name is Al Wilson. Didn't matter that he was a rookie. He was in charge of the defense. That's it. All right. We got our captain.
Coming up, four down territory, and Cortland Sutton has some high standards set for this offense. You'll hear it next.
And he's loose!
This is four down territory.
Madden is on the field. He wants to know if it's real. They said yes. Get your big butt out of here.
We're on to Cincinnati.
I'm here so I won't get fined.
You want to lose? I throw, you catch. It's not that hard, okay? All right, get the out of here.
On Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan. First down.
No, I don't think it factored into it at all. You know, Juwan and I had several conversations in the offseason. They all were very good and productive. I don't think it had any bearing on it whatsoever.
Yet, Juwan James came out in his statement in explaining why he was opting out and talked about the unfair narrative of how he was presented.
Right.
About how he didn't want to play or his toughness was questioned. Where else did that come from? I'm just curious. Maybe I missed it, Mark. Maybe somebody else made a big deal about it. Maybe somebody else connected with the Broncos came out publicly and talked about it. I can't think of anybody. So for Juwan James to go out of the way to include that as part of his statement, come on. You telling me all was All's good with these two?
Well, I mean, it may be good in your mind, but it certainly wasn't good in Juwan James's mind. And a lot of people in Denver say, well, good riddance, but you never did anything anyhow. I do think that I do get this sense that Juwan will never play here again, right? I mean, he's done, right? He's not going to play next year, is he?
Hard to imagine.
Right.
Although he does have a lot of guaranteed money because it rolls over to next year.
By the way, that question wasn't, do you think it had an effect? That question was, do you regret what you said?
You're right.
Right?
Yeah.
Do you regret the way you portrayed him, the way what you said? And he went on to say, I didn't think it had any effect on him basically opting out or not. He didn't answer the question. He very easily. Yeah, you know what? Probably should have phrased it differently so he didn't get his feelings hurt, you know? Could be better. Should have been better. You know, apologize for that. There's nothing wrong with doing that. As a matter of fact, that would be a good thing for you and your franchise.
Next in four down territory.
Second down.
I think Marquise Lecrae's all the chips for me. I think he's kind of... joking, kind of. You know, I just think, you know, last year I didn't play to Sauce Money Dunn standards. I didn't play to the Sack Master standards.
Did you hear him say, I'm just joking, kind of? See, I'm just joking, kind of.
Oh, yeah. No,
I'm just joking, kind of.
You talk about it all the time that athletes go out of their way to find a reason for a chip.
Sure.
So I'm sure that he is using some of those Mark Kisla slights as a legitimate motivation. Nothing wrong with that. And look, hey, yeah, I'm... People are only focusing on one half of what I've said about Vaughn's admission to working harder this offseason.
Right.
Okay? One half of it that you're all dwelling on is, it's kind of disappointing. Where was it the last couple of years? It's kind of disappointing. The other part is, hey, incredibly honest, incredibly candid, very, very few athletes would have the onions to come out and admit that. And the fact is, he's saying, I do need to be better, and right. I am more motivated, and you'll see it this year. And if this represents kind of a new Vaughn moving forward, great. Great for Vaughn. Hopefully great for the people that he takes under his wing, the people he leads, the people he motivates, the people he challenges. That's only good news for him and the Broncos.
It's great news. Great news for D-Mac, too, because what a chuckle he got out
of it. Oh, he was, man. And you wonder why we make so much of fake media laugh. It's real, folks.
You are a...
It's a real phenomenon, the fake media laugh. Next in four down territory.
Third down.
We have to go out and put that work in every day so that we live up to that potential. And like I said, surpass that. We have, goals that we want to achieve as teams. You know, as a team, we want to build a dynasty.
Oh, hey. That's Courtland Sutton. Now, we've spent the whole offseason talking about speed and weapons and winning the offseason. Courtland just took it to a whole nother level with the D word. I mean, talk about setting the bar high.
Whew. Don't you think? And listen, I love it. I love Courtland. You love that?
I love that.
You love that.
Yeah, because now it's the standard is out there. Now go meet it. I love it. Too often in this town, we keep the bar really low. Especially with teams other than the Broncos. The bar is set ridiculously low. I love real expectations. Real standards. Way to go.
Those are real.
Put that out there.
Those are real. You haven't won. You haven't been above 500 in... You haven't been 500 above in 3 years, in three seasons.
Yeah.
You think those are real expert dynasty now? Is we go from we can't break 500 to being a dynasty.
Clearly, he believes this offense has the potential to be a great offense. And so clearly does John Elway. You don't make these kind of moves and push all the chips into the table when it comes to what you're trying to do with this offense unless you think it has the potential. Unless the goal is to be great.
Tackled by Bowles.
Okay, so I'm going to have to, now I have to relook at my 6-10 prediction because I did not realize that they were working on dynastic goals. I mean, I didn't have that information before. So, I mean, 12-4?
Now, don't
13-3?
He's saying build a dynasty. Not that we are going to be a dynasty this year. It's in the process.
Oh, it's in the process.
It's in the process. Next in four down territory.
Fourth down.
I'm always confident in my play, and, you know, I know what I put out there this season and everything like that. So it's all about being confident, and, you know, it's just part of the business. You know, I've seen both sides of it, so I've been there.
Jimmy Garoppolo says he is unfazed by the criticism that he received for his play in the Super Bowl, in which it was painfully obvious to me that Kyle Shanahan was coaching around the fact that he couldn't trust his quarterback in the fourth quarter while Patrick Mahomes was mounting the Chiefs' comeback. So do you see any kind of, hangover effect for Jimmy G this season?
No, Jimmy G played really well last year.
But he did not play well in the biggest game, the biggest stage. Neither did Jared Goff 2 years ago, and Goff really struggled this past year.
But San Francisco's a better football team.
Than the Rams?
Yes.
Than the Rams of 2 years ago?
Yeah.
Huh. Okay. Wow. Boy, the Uda McVay has just faded.
Not that McVay.
That was just stench.
It's not that McVay is all of a sudden forgotten how to coach. No, he's a really good coach. They lost players through free agency, and they didn't address. They fooled themselves into believing that talent wins football games, and they let a couple of really good offensive linemen leave. And you know what they realized? It's not about talent. It's about complete football teams. And there was a rude awakening for them because they could no longer dominate the line of scrimmage was what really, they were a downhill run team that disguised itself as a spread team. And when they lost that ability to dominate the line of scrimmage, you know what they lost? Their ability to win.
That'll do it for Four Down Territory, our tour around the NFL. Coming up next, Troy Rank joins us. Give us his thoughts on what he heard from Vic Fangio, Von Miller, Cortland Sutton. Also his observations about these red hot Rockies. Troy joins us next. He is the Colorado Sportscaster of the Year. He's our Denver 7 insider. He's the king of the analogy.
Yes, we were trying to come up with
And the texters brought a few, like, he's playing Atari in an Xbox world.
That's pretty good.
That's a good one. Good. Something about a fish on a bicycle.
Yeah, there's probably one of those. I know this is not one of them, but I want him to come up with some type of, hotter than boiling Crisco or something like that, you know?
Something like that.
He's much better at this than I am.
And we were gross neglect on our part when we were putting together our Laugh Hall of Fame.
Yeah, our laugh track.
We want to include him, but nobody seems to have his Tickle Me Elmo laugh recorded. Now, maybe we can get him to do it. If we can,
yeah.
That'd be honest. That'd be great. Then we could add him, Troy Rank, presented by Tranny Law, to the Schlereth and Evans Laugh Track Hall of Fame. How you doing, Troy?
Fantastic, guys. How are you?
Good,
good.
You know your laugh has been compared to a Tickle Me Elmo.
Yeah, I have heard that.
Have you now?
Yeah, well, let's try to make that happen, although it's 7:49. I don't know if
Have you ever done the fake media laugh, you know, where some guy says something, you're oh, Vaughn, you killed me. Have you ever, you know, kind of one of those? Maybe you just give us a fake laugh.
I mean, I wouldn't have done it intentionally, but I'm not going to say it didn't sound like a fake media laugh.
Okay.
I mean, it's not like something. If I had done one, I'd want it to be more like a Ron Burgundy over the top that I'm sure I have laughed in a way that certainly sounded like a fake media laugh.
Okay. All right. Well, we're just trying to get, well, you know, we're just trying to figure it out. Hey, what'd you make of, let's start with the non-apology from Vic Fangio, who had an opportunity to apologize for, you know, the way that the injury of Juwan James and the lack of mental toughness. I think he said that he wasn't emotionally ready to play. Juwan James addressed it. Like, obviously, it still's bothering Juwan James in his opt-out letter to the fans. What'd you make of Vic Fangio yesterday talking about he didn't think it had any effect on the opt-out?
Yeah, I mean, Coach Fangio's not backing down from that. He and Juwan James were clearly not on the same page regarding the sprained MCL and James's left knee. He hurt it that first night. When Juwan played against the Colts, I had talked to him in the days leading up to that, and he had told me then he wasn't feeling confident in his knee, and then he didn't last very long in that game. And then that's where the issue started was, for James, that was kind of showing, like, you know, I'm not trusting this. I'm not sure what it's showing. I'm just telling you, I'm not trusting. It doesn't feel right. And then he did not get back on the field until December 8th against Houston. So he essentially set out almost 9-10 weeks. And that's where the rub started between the two of them. They did hash it out at the end of the season. And, you know, the thing about Fangio, he said they talked. And they had good conversations, and the Juwan James was in a good place physically with his knee, and he was ready to have a good season. But Vic Fangio, and you would know this better, Mark, is he uses the words mentally and emotionally to describe offensive linemen more than any coach I've ever been around. I've never heard that used. It doesn't mean it's not accurate. It's just not words you usually hear regarding offensive linemen. And because he did it with Garrett Bowles as well, that he's in a good place mentally and emotionally. So, you know, I don't think it had anything to do with the opt-out. There were some health issues both for James with the family, a newborn. I do think those issues are mutually exclusive. It would have been interesting to see how the relationship kind of unfolded this year, but I don't think it affected the opt-out. I really don't.
Visiting with Troy Rank, Von Miller incredibly candid yesterday, refreshingly so, in talking about his increased motivation and maybe where his motivation was lacking the last couple of years. Do we praise him for that honesty and be excited moving forward, or do you be critical of him for wondering where it was the last couple of years?
Well, listen, athletes evolve. It's fair to change as you move on through your career. I mean, Von Miller, in his essence, in his personality, has never been that guy that's going to scream and yell at teammates and get on them and push them. That's not been Von. And he's never really had to be that guy. You could argue it would have helped maybe more last year. And he tried to do some of that. And then they start losing and they change coaching staffs. There's reasons. So you could say, like, he should have been that guy sooner. But some of this has to happen organically. You can't force people to change who they are. And Von did a deep reflection, looked in the mirror this offseason, Mike, and didn't like what he saw in terms of he believes he can give more both on the field and off of it. I did ask Von, you know, how, because he brought up Kobe, he brought up Michael Jordan, and he wants to have a leadership style closer to them and his teammates to talk about him and the way those two were talked about. Well, that's not Von's personality. I mean, Kobe and Michael Jordan were not particularly well-liked by their teammates while they were going through it. And I asked Von, like, how do you do that? And he said, you know, Troy, that everyone can change. You know, people change, and he's willing. So I think he's going to try to blend it, have a more of a firm hand, a louder voice, while he said, telling guys I still love them, making sure they know I love them, and, you know, I love being around them, but that his voice is going to resonate more. And let's be honest, this is a huge year for Von. It's a crossroads season. He's had a one-club option left for next year of that contract he signed after the Super Bowl. So, I mean, this is a huge year for Von. It's a huge year for the team. It's a huge year for the defense. So, in some ways, the timing's perfect for him to kind of reinvent himself a little bit in terms of his leadership style and go out and have a monster year after what was clearly a productive offseason in his workouts.
Troy, really excited about baseball right now. I would ask you, in a truncated season, with which we've got going on right now, is 10 games enough to get a good feel that this Rockies team is a, you know, a wild card contender, a contender to win the NL West for the first time in their existence. Well, like, what should we make through these first 10 games? Because it's been nothing short of amazing and exciting.
Yeah, listen, there's reason to think it has some roots because there's no such thing as a small sample size in a 60-game season. So everything matters. It does. If this were 162, we'd all be saying, hey, this is great. Pump the brakes. It's a long season. Listen, it's a short season, and it's going to be a long year because they're dealing with a pandemic. But the stats matter right now. 10 games is the equivalent of, you know, almost 30 games. So it matters in the way this is playing out. And the reason it has roots is because of the pitching, Mark. They have a 2.44 ERA from their starters. They're 6-1. You know, I joked last night on Denver 7 that Marquez last night, he was more accurate than a DNA test. He had 74 strikes and 101 pitches with a guy who throws a heavy sinker at 96 miles per hour. Are you kidding? He had 17 first pitch strikes in a row, 21 batters first pitch strikes. I mean, folks, if you want to look up, that's what an ace looks like. That's a guy that you say, hey, go out and win a game for me. And that's why there's reasons to like it. If he's pitching well, Freeland's pitching well, the bullpen's got power arms, but it ultimately starts up front. 6-1, 2.44 ERA from the starters. They work quickly. As a result, their defense is better. Those are the things I like, and those are the reasons they should hang around is if they keep pitching like that from the front end.
So much happening. Troy, I got to quickly get your thoughts on this CSU supposed, alleged COVID-19 cover-up.
Yeah, listen, it was a troubling story out of Fort Collins from the Colorado and alleging that the players were being told by coaches not to report COVID-19 symptoms and being, you know, told that if they did, there could be some consequences. The report was in the Colorado, and it was a strong report. Other current CU players came out last night on Twitter, including Toby McBride. CSU players came out on Twitter last night saying that protocols are being followed, masks are being worn by coaches, that they're signing forms and symptom forms before every practice. The athletic director said they're doing everything they believe that everyone in society is doing. They're working through it, but it is something we have to monitor and keep an eye on because the health and concern of the athlete for me is paramount. As a dad who has a son playing college athlete, a couple that have played college sports. And you want to know that they can trust the coaches to have their best interest at heart. And if that trust gets broken during the time of the pandemic, that's the concern. But again, several players said that's not the case. There's the story suggesting that it is. So it's something it bears watching, not just in Colorado State, but around the country because of the pressure to win while also dealing with this pandemic.
All right, Troy, thank you.
You got it.
Troy Rank, our Denver 7 insider, brought to us by Trinity Law.
More accurate than a DNA test.
Boom.
How did we not come up with that?
Because we're not Troy Rank.
That's a good point.
Regarding the CSU story, which side do you believe?
I will err on the side that CSU is handling their business appropriately. I've just been around college athletics enough to know that there are always a few disgruntled people that aren't getting the playing time that they believe they deserve. And, you know, they can, I'm not saying they made something up, but they can misconstrue a coach being stern with them about whatever. And I'm just going to.
Well, wait a minute. Hold on. There's a difference between coach being stern with them and saying, don't report your symptoms.
Right. But, I mean, come on now. If you're, you know, Sniffly McGee and you're always opting out of things because my hammy hurts today or my ankle hurts today or, you know, you got a case of the sniffles and a coach goes, oh, Lord, here goes this sniffly guy again. You know, I'm just saying.
It's a tough one because you're exactly right what you're saying.
Right.
About how there's always going to be disgruntled players who were all everything in high school and now they're wondering why it's not happening in college.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But I also know, I've referred to it a zillion times over the years here, big time college athletics, it's like the sausage factory. And you know how I feel about sausage, but in this case, it's
the sausage.
It's derogatory. It's like the sausage factory. Yeah. You don't want to know how it's made. When it comes to big time college athletics,
sure.
You don't want to know how it's made. And a lot of us don't want to know how it's made. All we want to be able to do is enjoy that brat at a cookout on a Saturday afternoon. We don't want to know how it's made. So
the meatball.
That's why there's some legitimacy to this story.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I mean, I understand that. But if enough people come out and say, no, that's not what's going on. Like, what do they say? Three sides to every story. There's yours, there's mine, and then there's the truth.
Right.
You know, I'm just going to say that I believe that CSU is probably doing things, you know, they're following protocols. They're having to adjust on the fly to some degree because some of the things they thought were going to be okay are not okay. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's some disgruntled players or coaches that are going to complain about.
Okay. I'll go with this. I think more often than not, they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. But I could imagine that in this brave new world, early on in this brave new world of trying to adjust to it, that it might not be being followed 100%. And that's what needs to be investigated.
Right.
But I'm not going to take a side yet. This story needs to be investigated some more.
Well, yeah, obviously it needs to be investigated some more. But
before you just come out and... I know.
This is how you got the full Ferguson.
Yeah, I know.
This is exactly how you
get... No, I'm not trying to pin... This is KKFN and KKFN HD1 Longmont, Denver.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.